Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, before we would look into your word, we want to take a pause as a family of believers and just step back and reflect upon the blessings that you have poured out upon us even in this weekend. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity that we have had to rejoice with the Greniger and the Sipcar families, with the union of two hearts who first sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness and are now finding all these things added unto them, and the truths of your word coming to life in their joyous hearts for that which has been protracted and long awaited some 19 months. Lord, we rejoice together. And Father, we would also want to remember Sister Bethany with another blessing that we anticipate soon, and pray for your continued blessings on the delivery of the baby, that it would be healthy. And Lord, we know your word also teaches us that children are an heritage from the Lord. And we thank you for this blessing also. Would also be mindful of Sister Leah and the surgery she had just had. Pray your continued blessing on her. And also want to remember, again, the Janko family who has lost a loved one and not sure where his whereabouts are, and we just pray your blessing upon them also. And now, Lord, as we would turn our hearts and attention to your word, we welcome you as our teacher this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Was thankful, actually, yesterday for an opportunity with some quiet time to sit down. And Lord actually opened to me the 1 Corinthians 16, and I would like to read from that for our text this afternoon. And it never fails to amaze me how the Lord works. The Bible class, you'll see what the apostle takes up right away in the first verse of this chapter, which I did not even look at the Bible class lesson yesterday, but this is the God we serve and how wonderfully he works. I'm going to read the chapter in its entirety, and then we're just going to focus on a few highlights with the time we have this afternoon. The apostle, as he's wrapping up this first letter to the church in Corinth, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. We have a beautiful concluding chapter here before us this afternoon, and it rings very similar to those that were in the Bible class this morning, that there were those, and the apostle talks about taking this, the liberality, the donations to Jerusalem. And so he doesn't refer to them, though, as poor. He talks about the collection for the saints. And I think that's a beautiful lesson for us as well, that there's not a distinction drawn between who is wealthy, who is not wealthy. Rich and poor alike are together saints. And it can be understood that as we have opportunity, so let a man work with his own hands that he may have. And so this is not something that's a system that's promoting laziness or slothfulness, as it's spoken against in the scriptures. But we do find ourselves, even today, we find those who may fall on hardness, fall on hard times. Can imagine a widow whose husband may be shut up in prison for the faith, and how difficult it is for her to go forward, perhaps even with children. Or maybe who had lost a husband to an illness, to cancer, to whatever it might be. And these are those that are to be taken care of. And such was the case in Jerusalem, and we could certainly read there was a meeting that was actually held. The Apostle Paul recounts it in Galatians 2, and one of the things he says is that he and Barnabas are going to depart to the uncircumcised and Peter to the circumcised, and they sort of made that decision. But he also said, only that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. So this was something that was very much on the apostles' heart. And this is part of the context. The other part of the context is, if we remember back in the Corinth, there were divisions, there was strife. If we go back to earlier in this book, when the apostle teaches about the Lord's Supper, he says, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And he goes on to exhort them how to discern the Lord's body. And they were having situations where one was hungry, another was drunken, they were shaming those that have not, and it was a horrible situation. Very, very carnal, if I might say, as to how they were going into this very holy and solemn service of remembrance of the Lord's Supper. And so we have divisions here. We see some of that coming out with the exhortation about Timotheus. He's this young elder who's going to come, and he's exhorting them not to despise him, not to despise him for his youth, but to conduct him forth in peace and to support this young brother who's going to come, and he's going to try to help with some of these situations. We also get a little insight into Apollos, who the apostle encouraged strongly to go, but we don't know the reasons why, but it says it was not at all his will, which is interesting wording there, and that he would come when it was more convenient. We don't know exactly what was around that, but if there was some strifes and other divisions and some factions forming, and you had some that were very wealthy and others that were poor, and there was not good communion together in the church, might have been a factor. We don't know, but we see some of that coming out in the context. But I would just like to now focus on the three imperatives that the apostle takes up. And it's in the latter half, it's starting in verse 13. He gives three imperatives, and I believe we can take this with us as well. He first of all says, watch ye. Second of all is the exhortation to stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men is old language, but it basically means be a man, right? Stand strong and resist the opposition. Be a man. And then the third one is let all things be done with charity. So perhaps we can just take a few moments and have a few thoughts about each of these three imperatives. And let's reflect a little bit about how this would apply to us today as well. The first one is to watch. You know, it was interesting. Brother Joe started the message yesterday at the wedding with just asking, so how was traffic for you today? And I think we all laughed because we all sort of had a similar experience. It was a bit heavy. It was a bit of a challenge. And I always find it to be true whenever I'm driving on freeways in California that you have to keep your eye on the road every moment, because it only takes a moment of looking off or looking away for those brake lights to be coming very, very quickly at you. We have a respect for that in the physical sense. We know how easy it is and how quickly traffic can become jammed, often multiple times on our way, and how quickly that happens. So we have a respect for the vigilance that's needed. And we need to take that analogy around to the spiritual sense. And how watchful are we? And how long do we have to take our eyes off of our spiritual road before we start veering off the course? Or before perhaps there is something producing a traffic jam and we may end up in an accident spiritually. And perhaps that is our brother or our sister who's neighboring to us on this road that the Lord has us on. And it only takes a short period of time of distracting and losing that focus before that becomes a problem. And, the apostle had much to say to, and he mentioned Galatia as that one of those also that he had exhorted about giving and taking up the collection for the saints. He says, I had given order to the church in Galatia. Well, the apostle had other concerns about Galatia as well. They who had been begun in the spirit, were they now made perfect in the flesh? And relying on the deeds of the and the works of the flesh to justify themselves, and there was much. So these false doctrines can creep in, and we always need to be vigilant and discerning. So this aspect of watching is also having discernment. Jesus Christ would bemoan the fact that he would tell his people, "You can discern the face of the sky. Can you not discern the signs of the times?" And there are those who perhaps are even day traders that can be very vigilant in discerning what's going on Wall Street, can decide when to buy and sell and do so very well. Do they apply the same to what's going on in the world around us and in the spiritual world, in the spiritual battle that's raging all around us? Jesus would exhort his disciples to watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we know what happened even that very night. We read the regrettable scripture that says, and they all forsook him and fled. And they would all learn that lesson of how weak the flesh really is. But watching and praying. And we see that in our Lord Jesus did that on a daily basis, spending that quiet time, alone time in the Word and communing with the Holy Spirit, getting that discernment to watch spiritually. So important that we would do that. Jesus says in Matthew 13, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Do we know what's going on around us? Do we see where things are headed? Do we understand what's happening? Do we have that sense of urgency that there are still others that we can share this beautiful truth of the gospel with before it's too late, before we lose opportunity? I'm so thankful to see brethren from Canada, and here we're from the East. We can still travel. We can still get together, though it's been difficult. It helps make us appreciate just how fleeting and quick these things are. Come and go. Let's be watchful, deliberate about that. Standing strong and standing in the faith. You know, the apostle here would, and he's very careful. He mentions Apollos, who is not was not his will at all at this time to come. He says, I will come unto you in verse 5, when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. It may be that I will abide, yea, and even winter with you. You may bring me where I'm going. And But he says, I will not see you now, by the way. He didn't want to just make a quick stop and almost enjoy that fellowship and then just head on. He was going to come back when he could stay and when he could winter with them. But he gives us a little bit of insight here. He's going to tarry at Ephesus. Why? He says, a great door, or some translation, it's a wide door and very effective, is opened unto me. And of course, we know he's talking about the promotion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we come to a lesson here about standing strong, being strong, being quit you like men, be a man. Why? Because you're going to face opposition. And to use a football analogy, you know, if you're the ball carrier and someone's handed you the ball, every step you take down towards your opponent's goal that they are defending becomes a loss to them. So they're going to be coming after you. They're going to try to take you down to the turf. And it's that same way in the spiritual world. The adversary realizes that those who are forging ahead the kingdom of Jesus Christ are producing losses for him. For every soul that is saved, that is a soul that he loses access to, the evil one. And so he will oppose bitterly those who are busy about his work. And the apostle here recognizes a great door and effectual. There's great opportunity here. He says there are many adversaries. He had to stay there. He had to stay and fight and be strong and be a man. And forge ahead and hold this fortification that's here for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we have that same kind of perspective and that same kind of resilience and strength to stand and to fight and to forge ahead? And last of all, and this really is the foundation upon everything that we should do, the apostle says in verse 14, he says, let all your things be done with charity. Brother Joe also said very powerfully that for God so loved that he gave. And we see how important love is in all that we do. And Jesus gave us this new commandment that we would love one another. This is how all men shall know that you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. And James would warn us that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Do we find ourselves sometimes doing things out of strife, doing things in anger, or any kind of bitter rivalry, any kind of envy at play there? Do we truly grieve when we see losses of those around us in our church family? God forbid that we would have some sense of gratitude to see someone who we may feel has things that we might be tempted to envy, or successes that we might tempt to envy, and then feel some kind of a carnal sense of gratification if we see them trip up a little bit. That should break our hearts one for another. I think of 3 John, where it's talked about how he rejoiced to hear how they were doing in the Lord. He says, for I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And this kind of love that we would have for one another. And it becomes clear that love is extremely powerful. When it comes to resilience, when it comes to endurance, and we can read in the love chapter that this same apostle also read, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It should be no wonder to us why we're exhorted that let all your things be done with love, one for another. And it really covers a multitude of sins. It really becomes what fortifies us together as a brotherhood, what produces a heart that is for the lost, that love that we would have, the love of Christ, be alive and well in us. And how is that? As we would reflect unto ourselves. A powerful chapter. There's much that we could meditate on. But may the Lord bless these few words to our hearts as we would go forward.